The first of three readings comes from Genesis chapter 11. And that is the record of once upon a time, or very early in civilization, all language was one language. But when it came to human pride trying to compete with the authority of God, God confused the languages. Genesis 11, 1 to 9. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. And let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole world." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of the whole world, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is the basis of Pentecost and also the point of departure for our message. Coming from Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, revealing the awesome coming of the Holy Spirit, power from on high. Thank you. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, which is 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel," quoting Joel, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This also is the word of the Lord. Our gospel comes from John chapter 14, beginning at verse 23. And this was before Jesus' suffering and death and resurrection. He told about the Holy Spirit who was to come, possibly even after his resurrection. We don't know for sure, but before Pentecost. Jesus answered him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here." This is the gospel of the Lord. Our text and point of departure is actually Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And in the sermon message title, I see in the bulletin, ACTS. I would encourage you to read the book of Acts. It covers four themes. A stands for acts of love and power. And C, it's all for the cause of Christ. T would stand for the trouble and turbulent times that they went through to bring the gospel. But S stands for the power of God's Holy Spirit. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about power from on high. Wow, that's better. Okay. All right, that's what we will do. And I'm going to ask you to join your hearts with me in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for the anointing of your Holy Spirit upon our ears and hearts, and also upon my mouth in the proclamation, in the explanation, and of your word. May your word instruct us, inspire us, and also enable us to be the people of God and to do what you want us to do. And we pray it all in the name of Jesus. And all God's people can say, amen. Please be seated. Sometimes in the pulpit, I feel so far away from the people, I just thought, well, maybe we can do it this way this time. Is that okay with you? All right, good. Okay. Jesus said, before he parted, some of his last famous words, before he ascended to heaven, he said, "You shall receive power from on high. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." Well, that was the power promised in Jesus' last words, and that was 40 days after the original first Christian Easter, 10 days before the first Christian Pentecost, which we call the birthday of the Christian church. Just before he ascended to heaven, he said those words to as many as 500 eyewitness people who were witnesses of his physical resurrection. And he's saying them to us as well, to 21st century Christians, you and me believers, to be his witnesses. Now, at the beginning of our Bible study, Roger has agreed to do a little role play how this can be a way we can naturally do it. I call it the no fear approach to outreach, to engage people to talk about Jesus and their future. So I hope you'll be able to stay for that. In so saying that Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses," he defined who his followers would be, as well as what they should do. I wonder how many people have been in a courtroom scene where maybe they were called to be a witness to a crime or a misdemeanor. Anybody here? Okay, a few of you. Or maybe even on a jury that had to listen to the witnesses. And the job of the witness, of course, is to tell what he has or she has seen and heard, right? And to tell the truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, right? Okay, even though we did not physically see Jesus or audibly hear his words, we believe the truth of the gospel, and that's why we are witnesses, not only of what he did, but what he did for us in the world and what it means for us in the world. And so we are his witnesses to bring that hope, that forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life that Jesus paid the price for. Our marching orders are to share that and proclaim that good news to the world. And by the way, there is no witness protection program for your personal and physical safety. In fact, Jesus promised rather the opposite. It is going to be through much tribulation we enter the kingdom of God. And being a Christian witness will often mean opposition, persecution, and even death, as it did for many first century disciples and as it has for multiplied millions since. Since during the 50 days after the first Christian Easter, the disciples much of the time were huddled behind locked doors. They were frozen with fear. Frozen with fear that would make them hesitate to share the gospel with the world, let alone to go out of their doors and just hopefully have safety. But that was until Jesus gave them the promise. And that was until that promise was fulfilled. Power from on high. They were to wait in Jerusalem until they would receive it. And wow, they did. Did they ever experience the promise of empowerment to make disciples of all nations? 120 people of Jesus' disciples, including Jesus' mother, were in the upper room praying and waiting in Jerusalem, following the Lord's orders not to go anywhere but to wait in Jerusalem until they received that power. There came a sound as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared on them tongues or flames of fire on each of them. And they were starting to speak in languages that they had never heard or never had learned. And it's interesting because, you see, at that time there were thousands of people in Jerusalem there to celebrate the festival, the Old Testament festival of Pentecost. And they came to the house where they felt they saw, or rather heard, the sound of the rushing mighty wind. And they started hearing languages that they understood, the people speaking them didn't understand. And they were saying, hey, you're telling us the wonderful works of God. Wow. That was the fulfillment of that power from on high, and its promise. And that was the end of fear and the beginning of boldness for them. That was the birthday of the Christian church, when the 120 grew to 3,000 that first day, and then a few days later to 5,000, and then to 2.4 billion people in the 21 centuries since, that is today, in spite of hardships, opposition, and persecution that followed. And even though there were the attempts to stamp out this new faith, even as Jesus predicted, it would be not easy. Even as God's word says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 29, it's not only granted to you to believe, but also to suffer with him for his sake. The Holy Spirit that brings us to believe Jesus is our Savior and Lord is the same dynamis, or dynamite Holy Spirit, that he gives to his people, to his church, the power to be witnesses. This is the same person and presence of God to comfort and encourage us in our helpless and hopeless moments, to give us comfort in times of sorrow and grief, to give us courage in the times that we need the help of God to accomplish whatever it is we're trying to accomplish in his name. This is the same Spirit that enables us to remember and interpret God's word, as we heard. This is the same Spirit promised In the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, your sons and your daughters, your young men will see see visions, and your old men dream dreams. I will show signs and wonders, and everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. This was prophesied in Joel chapter 2, 400 years or so before the first Pentecost, and it was echoed by Peter, but he also said the last days that would happen, Acts chapter 2. And so it is today that God's Spirit is being poured out. Now, the Jesus movement thrived in spite of persecution, even in the first century. You can read in the book of Acts how Stephen was the first Christian martyr. And as he was being stoned to death, he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Jesus stood up for that martyr. How the terrorist Saul was transformed into the apostle Paul. How, in spite of slander, torture, witchcraft, and imprisonment, shipwreck, and threats, the Christian faith spread over all the world through the centuries and in people that I personally met or have read about and researched. Let me tell you about a few of those. Jerry, he was a guy. He was about as broad as he was tall, you know, one of these tough guys. Anyway, he was a white survivor in East St. Louis. After his jail time, he came to our house and with his brothers told my wife and me, he says, you know what? When I was a kid, and mothers usually call the school when, you know, their child is not going to be there. He said, my mother called when my brothers and I were going to be in school. Anyway, I met Jerry in jail, who was serving a 5-year sentence for armed robbery. And he was plotting to kill his former friend who set him up to get caught in his crime. And then he stole his girlfriend while he was in the clinker. I drew 2 stick figures, one representing Jerry standing up and his victim at his feet. And then I said, now what? And of course, we both knew that it was going to be more jail time. It was going to be futile. And I just encouraged him and gave him the book of Luke to read. And the next time I came back, and Jerry was all excited, he says, you know what? Hey, that Jesus, he was betrayed too. Something in common. Jerry came to know Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And he served a shortened jail sentence for good behavior and became an ambulance paramedic, but most of all, a believer. It's all because there was that power from on high.
Holy Spirit.
After living a wild life with drugs and sex, a young man named Gus was about to end it all. And poised to jump off a cliff, he heard the words from heaven, which said to him, go back and read your Bible. It stopped him short. He went back and read his Bible and became one of Jesus' own, and that's why he could tell me his story. The power from on high.
The Holy Spirit.
In 1984, Dave had just rolled his dad's semi-tractor and trailer. At the time, it was $100,000. Today, it may have been $1 million. At any rate, that's when I saw him and met him. Very dejected. He told me just the day before that his wife had left him a note. And the note read, I have plans, and you are not in them. I made sure the shotgun in his cab went into my trunk, as I was also telling him about the hope and the promise of Jesus Christ. I followed him to the doctor's office or to the hospital, where a doctor and I teamed up to share the good news of Jesus. I stood guard at the door and overheard the doctor inside say, forget that I'm a doctor, and shared the hope and the love of Jesus. Well, Jerry, or rather Dave, became a Christian, as I found out later. You know, years later, and I was hundreds of miles away, I got this phone call. You remember me, Dave? The one that rolled my dad's truck? I said, oh, yeah, yeah. He says, hey, I love the Lord. I got a new life and a new wife. He wanted me to know. It's the power from on high, the
Holy Spirit.
As a new convert to Christ in the Middle East, Pastor Paul attracted the attention of a terrorist named Rashid. And that Rashid terrorist wanted to kill Pastor Paul and kill his family first. After some failed attempts, which involved he and his cronies seeing an armed militia around the pastor's house, and I say seeing, you know, he was quite frustrated, and he had to abort those attempts. But finally, a woman whom they hired did successfully deliver a box of chocolate for the three children. And two of the boys, these chocolates were all poisoned. And the boys, it didn't harm them at all. But the girl, she fell either deathly ill, became unconscious, or even died. And then Rashid, as he was looking out with his comrades in an ambulance ready to simulate being the rescue crew, saw something he didn't expect. He saw a ball of fire over the house. He saw a hand with an outstretched arm reaching down. It was a pierced hand, and it touched the girl, and she was immediately healed. Rashid was so terrified, so haunted for the next several days, couldn't sleep. He had to find out who the hand belonged to, and found a Bible in his house he had gotten trying to refute Christianity, and he found it was Jesus. He repented. He was sorry. He went to Pastor Paul, and Pastor Paul says, yes, I know, I was there. And they were reconciled with forgiveness. And because Jesus is still Lord, because he still dispenses power from on high,
the Holy
Spirit. Pastor Paul and Rashid were fellow brothers in Christ. A terrorist came to the United States to recruit others to his faith and activity when he was involved in a motor vehicle accident, which left him mostly paralyzed. In his book, and I even have it out there, Blood of the Lambs. Anyway, he tells how he cried out to Allah, but Allah didn't answer. Then he heard the voice from heaven, whom he knew was God. Why don't you try the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He did. Kamal did, and became totally healed. And since then, Kamal is a crusader for Christ rather than a killer of Christians and Jews. Power from on high.
Holy Spirit.
The power that orders and moves the earth and billions of galaxies possibly, and binds each atom so that it doesn't fly apart, is that power from on high, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Pentecost inspires people of God to believe and to speak, and God transforms people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, I could tell many stories of the great activity of the Holy Spirit even today, whether it's by visions, dreams, signs, and wonders, or simple testimony predicted by prophets in Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, that these things and the Spirit of God would be poured out in the last days. Instead, I just gave you a few examples to inspire and embolden you to share Jesus with your family, friends, and others, to go make disciples. It's either go or support. Remember, you have the same power from on high,
the Holy Spirit.
The same Holy Spirit. And God's word says in Psalm chapter 81, verse 10, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Be the mouthpiece of that power from on high,
the Holy Spirit.
Please rise. May the peace of God, which excels all understanding, keep guard over your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Amen.